things. Nothing, hopefully not too long. And I was thinking, actually, about this song was going through my head, and I called it tonight number 29. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is out of Psalms 23:6, of course. And I was just think about that for a moment, because goodness and mercy, those are just a couple things that we have to be joyful for. Those are only, they're not small things. They're big things, but there's so much the Lord does for us, and we should be overjoyed each and every day that we can serve our Lord. And so I was thinking about this, and we see here David's confidence is in God's grace. David is constantly praising the Lord and exhorting others to praise the Lord, and even when he has down times, and we all do that because we're walking this earth, but even then, where does he go? He goes to the Lord, and he's so thankful for God's grace, and we should be the same way, and we are able to dwell in God's presence, and it says forever. It doesn't just say while we walk here, whatever, it says forever, because of Christ, the great shepherd. And that's Psalms 23. Erlene gave a real good study on that. Now, I haven't forgot it. I've got it written down, scribbled over the top, and everything else. So I brought my old Bible tonight, and I just, when I was studying it, I used this, and it kind of took me back to a couple things I've kind of maybe forgot. And so I wanted to reinitiate those into my life. Actually, the Holy Spirit did it. I didn't really do, I just accept it, so. Anyway, so we're going to start in 2 Samuel chapter 24, 11 through 14. And this is going to be a plague that's set upon Israel. David numbers the people, it says, and then having three plagues propounded upon Israel. And we're going to go up and we'll start in verse 11, 24, 2 Samuel 24, verse 11. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. Verse 14, And David said unto Gad, I am in great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord chose the pestilence upon Israel. And I'm not going to go into that, but I liked all this very much because it does talk about, he says, for the Lord's mercies are great. And they are. They're great beyond anything that we can even understand or comprehend, because we do not know how great his mercies are. Now, David, living in the time he did, he got to see a lot of the mercies of the Lord from the time when he was a young man, a young lad, until he died by way of the grave. David did know the mercies of the Lord was great. But even still, only being a man, it's hard to for us to comprehend how great God's mercies really are. the mercies of God and that God is merciful, I'm only going to scratch the surface. But and that's true. It's only going to be very, very scratching the surface. But we see the Lord came unto Gad the prophet to go say this unto David. And we see the Lord gave David three choices, right? But the one thing that I thought was interesting to me is the Lord didn't have to do this. I mean, God could have just said, hey, this is what I'm going to lay on you, and this is what you deserve, and this is it. And I think if that would have been true, if God would have just said, hey, I'm just going to do this to you, I think David would have accepted it and still praised his Lord because he would always bow down unto the mercy of the Lord. And the thing that I liked best about this said it's because of God's unending grace. His grace never ends. It goes on and on. And I know his grace is forever and through all eternity, I'm sure. Because it says in the Word, it goes on forever. His mercies are made known here. And this part I liked. He said, let us not fall into the hand of man, but in the hand of the Lord thy God. So really, the bottom line is, right, let's put our faith and trust in God completely. Where else can you go? Where else can you go in this world, in this day and age, or any age, where can you fully, fully put your trust and faith in? There's nothing but God. God is the only place, our Lord. That's the one we put our faith and trust in completely. You think about it. We shouldn't have to think about it really much at all, but God sent his only begotten Son to die for us and take all the sins of humanity upon himself. God's mercies are great. I'm saying they are great. And I don't know why the Lord led me to this. Maybe he wanted me to really think about it and dwell upon this, that God's mercies are great and that he wants you to come unto him. I don't care what's going on in your life. His mercies are great. You don't have to be afraid of God. You reverence him. He knows everything anyway, but he wants you to come to him and he wants to understand that, like Jack used to say, he's not here to beat you up and just get all over you and everything. He wants the very best for us, and his mercy is great. Let's. I want to turn to Psalms, and we're going to go through some of these. I'm going to go to Psalms 103. Let me tell you, it's kind of hard not to just start reading the Psalms like Gordon's been doing all the time. For months now, it's hard. Psalms 103, we're going to start in verse 8. Well, verse 2 he says, well, verse 1 he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Is that not God's grace? I don't know. I would say that's God's grace for sure. And he said, who redeemeth the life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dwelt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You think about that. His mercy, his grace, my gosh. We already read verse 4, so We won't read that one, but let's go to Psalms 119. And that's another good one. There's a lot here. I mean, 119 in verses 152. Verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. And he says down here further in 59, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, right? Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalms 145. Psalms 145. We're going to read a little bit here. I'm going to start in verse 3, but I'm actually going to start in verse 1. But anyway, Psalms 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the mighty might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. He says this again, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Thou shalt speak of the glory of the kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that he bowed down. You could go on. We could read the rest of it, I guess, but we'll stop there. The Lord's, you get the idea here. You know, you declare his greatness, and that's what we should be doing. We should be realizing how great the Lord is. We should praise the Lord in every day and everything that we do, because his mercies are truly beyond our comprehension. And his compassion is greater than we can ever sense. I think about it when I was, the Lord gave this to me like right away. Actually, I had something else, and he took me from that, and he got me thinking about this verse, Psalms 23:6. And then a song came into my head, and I just couldn't get it out. And so I went on, I started reading about it, and I was so impressed. And I don't know why, but impressed, you know, about reading all this and studying this last couple days. And Isaiah. I'm going to go to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, 7 and 8. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Now, you could go on back down and we could read all this, but this is when he's talking, mercy's promised. He's talking to, Israel here, the church, my heading says the church comforted with gracious promises. God is telling them here that for a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. And he always will gather us. And, you know, that's a precious promise that we have, that he never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always gathered us up like a mother hen gathers her chicks under the wings. He's our buckler and our shield. He's our provider. He takes care of us when we're not even, not sometimes, well, we're not worthy of it, that's for sure. In Isaiah 55:3, it says this, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." And the mercies of David speaks of holy and sure blessings of David from God. That's what it comes down to. But I don't know. I had this Bible for a while. It's been a long time since I've been in it and read it. But I wrote a thing on the side of it, and I'm sure Jack was preaching at that time. And I put over there spiritual fullness. And I got thinking about that as I read this. And I said, really, that's it. It's spiritual fullness. And it only comes from the promises of Christ our Lord. That's our spiritual fullness. God has provided a way by his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us through his word, give us understanding. It's precious to me. The Apostle Paul refers to this scripture in Acts 13:34. So let's go over there and just take a quick look at this. I always like it when someone refers back to the Old Testament. Acts 13, and we're just going to read verse 34. Let's see, where am I here? I can't hardly see where I'm at here. Well, Paul tells of the resurrection of Christ here in verse 30. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings how that promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And you can read that in Psalms 2:7. That's where it comes from. And he says, And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Okay? And he says, Wherefore thee said, saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. You know, we know David lived out his years, and it goes on to tell about how he fell asleep. And it says, After David, he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he who God raised again saw no corruption. You know, Paul preaches Christ crucified, but he also preaches about him being resurrected. And see, because you can't, I don't believe you can just preach one thing. You need to preach the whole thing. It's a package deal. He went to the cross for us. He died for us. He was raised again for us. And he intercedes for us. You know, Jesus doesn't forget us. He's in heaven. I heard some guy thought, well, yeah, he went up with the Father. And somebody told me this a long time ago, hey, he's probably not too worried about what we do now. I said, no, he's concerned. Why would he be not concerned? He died for us, you know. I wanted to make that guy understand. So I told him what I thought, that he needs to go read the Bible because he needs to read the Word, that Christ still intercedes for us on our behalf every day. I already said the sure mercies of David speaks of holy and sure blessings. And I want to say to you one thing. If you read Psalms 118, the psalmist speaks of God's mercy. What does he speak about? It endureth forever. Endureth forever. So you take this with you tonight. I'm just suggesting. I know I'm going to go home and read it again. I already read it several times, but I'm going to go read it again. Psalms 118. You're going to get a lot out of it, trust me. Probably more than we can take in one reading, of course. Now we're going to go over to Ephesians. I had to get in Ephesians just once. Ephesians 2, and I want to read verses 1 through 6. I was only going to read a little bit here, but when I got looking at it, actually, I'd like to read the whole book, but we can't be here that long. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. And you he hath quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We know who that is, right? And we know that he rules the earth right now. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But here we go. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us or made us alive, us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? You go on and read the rest of this. You know the rest of it. We could read on all about it. But really, you think about it. God, who is rich in mercy, or wealthy in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You know, Gordon was talking about that guy. What's his name, Chan?
Francis Chan.
Francis Chan. Now, we were talking the other day after Sunday school, and I was thinking, you know, we talk about going to prayer and everything. And you think about this. We talked about this. And it really struck me all of a sudden. And I don't know why. I guess it just kind of hit me like this. Prayer. Think about it. When you pray to the Lord, you're having direct fellowship with God. Direct fellowship with God. Think about it. Man, that is awesome beyond belief. I mean, that is fantastic that us, each one of us, can sit and pray by ourselves in a quiet place. We can pray together unto the Lord. God hears us. And what did he say? He answers. He always answers a prayer. He doesn't just hear us and go, oh, yeah, okay, well. He answers us because he loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his only son. He wouldn't go to all that trouble if he didn't want to redeem us. Hebrews 4:16, it says this, and you all know this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He said, let us therefore come boldly. We have the right to come boldly unto the throne of grace because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus has made us have a right standing with God. We're able to talk to God and he hears us and he answers us. And every time that you talk to the Lord, you draw closer and closer and closer with him. That's what he wants. He wants us to draw close to him. He doesn't want us to draw close to him and then leave him the next moment. He wants that closeness to be real. He wants that closeness to be alive. He doesn't want it like you turn off the water on and off. He doesn't want that. He wants it continually. He gave up so much, he didn't have to. God is the creator of all things. He could have done anything he wanted to. He could have ended it all and started all over. But he had a plan. Titus, closing verse. Titus chapter 3. verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, right? Not self, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You read that. You think about that. You tell me that He don't want a fellowship with us? Does He want a closeness with us? Does He want us to be, said what He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ? I'm telling you right now, you can get excited about this, or you can just go and sit and be quiet and just act like you're asleep somewhere. But I guarantee you, anytime, I don't know. I told Jack quite a bit before he went on to be with the Lord. When you are saved, it's a wonderful thing, right? Of course it is. When you receive the Holy Ghost, that is another miraculous thing, because you know why? Because your eyes are truly open now. Now you see. What does it say? Now I see, right? Now I see. What did Job say? I heard you, but now I see. And that's really what it comes down to. The more you study, and I mean this, Earlene, the more I study, the more I see. The brighter the vision becomes. Brighter is the light of our Savior Jesus Christ. And you know that light has to radiate out somewhere. It should, right? If it doesn't, exactly right. Kick the bushel off, right? Don't hide underneath the bush, right? If the light's bright enough, it'd burn the bush. But anyway, we want that light of the Lord in our life. We want to shine to others. And I think that the more I study, I know this, the more it just, I'm just amazed at how great our God is and wonderful our Lord is. And yeah, everything He's given us, I just don't know how you can be a sad Christian. We were talking about that earlier too, about being sad. And you have no time to be sad, man. You should be happy. We're going home one of these days. We keep saying one of these days we're going to go home, but when it happens, we'll be home. And we won't be thinking about none of this, none of this earthly stuff. Bert?
And it wasn't anybody that we know at all. And the congregation, the pastor got up to speak, and the congregation had attended 5 funerals in one day.
Oh, my gosh.
5 funerals. And they were pretty worn out.
Oh, yeah.
And there was no amens or anybody getting excited. He says, "Come on, church."
Is anybody awake out there? Yeah. I know we do that, right?